Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. My name is Lisa Elsesser, and I am your pastor's wife. I love you guys. In your bulletin, you have a handout. And I'm going to, for the people that like to know what's going on and what's coming and going, this is for you. Also, you can take this home with you, and there'll be some things you can do with this. So, wanted to make you aware of that. The set design. Were you here 2 weeks ago? Oh my goodness, it was full of trash. And I walked in, I was like, ah, there's a bunch of trash on God's altar. I don't know. And I was like kicking it around when I was on worship team, because did any of you guys feel that? And then Mark came up and he said, you know, we have trash in our lives, and sometimes we bring that into God's house and we try to hide it. And I was like, oh, trash on the altar means the trash in our lives. And then last week, because we were talking about lethal language, words. And then last week, we were talking about fear, and we want to get rid of that. So now we're crossing out, getting rid of the scare pollution, and a little bit of the extra stuff is gone. And this week, we're talking about radioactive relationships. So it's going to be really fun. Did you notice there's like some little plants growing up? Things are getting more beautiful as we begin to bring our problems to the Lord and we start to flush out the trash in our lives. Some of the big things are still remaining, but it's getting a lot better. So today's topic is on relationships, and I would like to pray for you and for myself. Dear Heavenly Father, I am so thankful to be here today, to be celebrating in this beautiful church with these wonderful people. When I see their faces, I know so many of them, and it makes me smile. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful that you are the master of relationships, and I'm thankful for the relationship I have in my life with you. I know that you want to be in a relationship with us, and that you have created us to love you and to love ourselves and to love others. And for this, I am eternally thankful. As we learn today about relationships, some people, all of us, are going to be hit in different areas. And it's going to bring up good thoughts and bad thoughts. And I ask that you would bring a covering from your Holy Spirit upon us, and a little nudge, and just a gift from you as we work on our relationships in life. Amen. I want to start off, there's a picture up here of three sections. And I want you to think of a relationship as spring, summer, and harvest. What you bring into your garden. You have a garden, and your life is a garden, and everybody has a garden, and they're bringing things into your garden and taking them out. And so the very first thing is what you bring into a relationship. So kind of like what happens when you walk in the door of someone else's garden? What does it look like? Is it beautiful, or is it icky? This week, when I walked into the door of the church, somebody came up to me and said, Lisa, call me by my name, I hope you have a spectacular day. You are such a great person to be around. And I was like, wow, I have just walked into saying hi to this person, and she gave me this great compliment. And I would say that she did some nice planting in my life. Versus walking in and somebody go, oh, it's you again. Thanks. I'll just leave right now. So what do you bring into a relationship? Like when you meet someone, do you encourage them, and do you bring in something positive, or do you just like leave poop on the floor? So the second thing is summer and growing. And what is it like while you're there? Are you encouraging? The time you spend, is it good? Or is it just ho-hum? And the last one is your harvest, when you're gleaning. What are you going to leave? Are you going to leave a legacy, or are you going to leave vacancy? When the person walks out, maybe from your day's encounter, or maybe from leaving work, are you going to go, wow, that person's amazing? Or are you going to go, well, I think I can get along with that person? Are you just going to go, Whoa. What do we leave? What do we leave when we die? So when you're thinking today about your garden, what are you going to plant? What are you going to grow? And what are you going to harvest? And we're going to talk about that. Because when we speak life into people, that builds them up. When I was thinking about healthy relationships, I was thinking, what would I preach on in the Bible? Because the whole Bible is healthy relationships. But as you can see, it's in the middle of the Bible. I picked Proverbs because when I think of healthy relationships, I think of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written by Solomon, and he was very wise. And so he gives us this whole 31 chapters of intelligent relationships. I went through every verse and wrote them down. Not every verse, but I wrote down the verses and categorized them into 7 categories today. So we're going to have 7 lessons in relationships. And you can follow them in your bulletin. The first one is relationship with God, God's place in your garden. The next lesson we're going to learn about is the environment, the crowd you hang with. Third one is your love life, sexual purity. Fourth is your heart, got to guard that. Fifth is words. Sixth, of course, we have to add work ethic in there. And number 7 is your family. The definition in Proverbs of a proverb is wise saying for good living. Therefore, we have 7 topics that we're going to talk about today. So let's get going. Lesson number 1, God's place in your garden. You have a choice to either disregard God, say, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus, I don't care about the Bible, or you can fear the Lord. The very first verses of Proverbs tell us all about wisdom and relationships, and I'd like to read that. We're in Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, that's the innocent, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. And then verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the question is, what is the fear of the Lord? And I think it is bowing down before God, respecting Him, living in authority, knowing God's power, honoring Him in all you do and say, being awestruck by His power. Do you know that He even controls the wind and the waves? Being obedient, having faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wonderful relationships with family, friends, and church friends all go to the glory of God. It's not about us. It's all a gift from God. So the first question on your bulletin insert is, what actions of yours show that you fear God? What actions of yours show that you fear God? Lesson number 2, your soil, your environment. The soil is the crowd that you hang around with. It's very important to your garden. You have to be careful and cultivate the soil so that you'll have rich integrity. Take a hard look at who you hang around with and what path you're taking. Proverbs 1, 10 to 16, out of the Message. I'd like to read this. The Message is a translation that's a little more like hip. Proverbs 1, 10 to 16. Pay close attention, friend, to what your father tells you. Never forget what you learned at your mother's knee. Wear their counsel like flowers in your hair, like rings on your fingers. Dear friend, if bad companions tempt you, don't go along with them. If they say, let's go out and raise some hell, let's beat up some old man and mug some old woman, let's pick them clean and get them ready for their funerals. We'll load up on top quality loot and we'll haul it home by the truckloads. Join us for a time of your life. With us, it's share and share alike. Oh, friend, don't give them a second look. Don't listen to them for a minute. They're racing to a very bad end. They're hurrying to ruin everything they lay hands on. Satan has a way of planting thoughts in our mind that we need to be popular. I want to be popular. Anyway, and have more money. We've seen that before. Wild living and greedy desires. I went on a date. Okay, I got to start over on this. When I was 16, we moved. We moved to Evansville, and I was lonely. I was very lonely. I was in a huge, lonely circle. I didn't have any friends, and I felt very desperate. I didn't have any relationships with anybody, just my dog and my mom and dad. That's all I knew. I was about 2 months in, I was invited on a date with a boy named Paul, and he was pretty good looking. I really needed friendships, and we went to the movie, Sgt. Pepper Lonely Heart Club Band. Do you guys remember that movie? That was pretty fun. And he was real cute, you know, wrestler. And so I was kind of excited to have a new friend, and we went on like a double date with some other friends. Afterwards, we get in the car, and he's like, well, we're going to go get some alcohol and smoke some weed. And I was like, I don't have any friends. I'm a pastor's daughter. My dad would kill me. I shouldn't be doing this. I go to church. This is wrong. And I said to him, I can't do this. I need you to take me home. Well, I wasn't very popular at that moment. In fact, it was like silent. And they took me home, and I went in my house and cried like all girls do when they've made the right decision. But I couldn't do this. I couldn't do this to my life. I couldn't do it to the garden that I was planting. I couldn't do it because I knew it was wrong in God's eyes. The company I had been around was bad company. I was desperate for a relationship. I was desperate to be loved, especially by a really cute boy. But it was wrong. And I wanted to make the right decision, and I did. So we have to be very careful about the company that we keep. Don't get distracted by pretty things. What kind of company are you keeping? We have weeds that start growing in our soul. We have to be careful and pay attention. In this drama, you're going to love it.
Well, that does it. I finally have got this old garden cleaned up. It took me a while to get serious about clearing out the weeds, but it's finally finished. Take this weed, for example. It started growing when I was 7. My sister would tease me because I had a problem with wetting the bed. The roots on this weed go real deep. I've always had anger towards her about that. This one, tragic death of a close friend. This fell into my garden when Dad left our family. Oh, and this pile of trash, it was thrown there by Mr. Cranard, my history teacher, who delighted in announcing to the entire class which students had failed his exams. He used to tell me that I was a member of the moron club. I hate anything to do with history to this day. This was a fight over a boy with my best friend. We stopped talking that day. So there it is, all the weedy memories and depressing junk in my garden of life. Now I realize that there are a lot of holes in my dirt, but it's better that way. Anything to get rid of all those weeds. Oh, hi! Are you the garbage collector?
Hi, my name is Faith. We prefer sanitation engineers.
Oh, I'm sorry, Faith. Anyway, here's my garbage.
Wow, that's quite a pile of trash.
Yeah, well, I guess you could say that some of us have had more than our share of hard knocks. But now it's all cleared out of my life and ready to be taken away.
All right. Looks like it's 3 gallons. So that should take about 3 days. So I'll return it to you Wednesday.
Return it to me? No way. Are you kidding? I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. I'm tired of seeing it.
But that's what we do. We take all your trash up to the recycling plant, and the boss, he'll process it, and then we'll return it to the owner to be used as fertilizer.
Fertilizer? No. Listen. I have had to live with the hurts and pains of a rotten life too long. Now I finally take action to get rid of all the weeds and junk, and you tell me I have to take it back? I don't want to see it, smell it, think about it, anything, anymore.
Your garden needs fertilizer.
So I'll go out and buy some at Rural King.
They don't sell fertilizer for the type of garden you're growing. You see, we take all your trash and recycle it into usable fertilizer. All those experiences that you've had, they'll make great mulch. And no amount of denying your pain or throwing away your problems can change that. But the owner of the fertilizer can take all of these weedy experiences and make your story rich. When you're through with this process, you may even find something useful for yourself and others.
So Wednesday you're going to bring all this back and dump it in my garden?
Yes. But by then it won't be garbage or junk or trash. It'll be strength. And joy, pure living, faith, forgiveness, and peace. You'll even have love enough to sustain others through their weedy experiences.
I guess I really don't have a choice but to give it to you then.
Just the opposite. You have all the freedom of choice that you'd like to decide what to do with this.
Okay, take it all. Hey, Faith, when you come back and dump it in my garden, can you do it gently? I don't want to be overwhelmed.
I'll pour it slowly. Don't you worry.
Thanks.
And the owner of the recycling plant guarantees that this garden will be bright and have a beautiful future. You'll hardly even remember those weeds. You just wait and see.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to changing trash into treasures in my garden. And tell your boss, thanks.
Okay, we're moving on to Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. And if you don't know what these topics are about, you should read them at home. Chapters 5, 6, and 7, this is lesson number 3, lust and adultery versus faithfulness to the marriage covenant. You see, there's weeds and thorns in our lives of sexual immorality and impurity. And up here on the screen, I have a picture of a plant called the belladonna. The belladonna is also known as the deadly nightshade. It's an Italian word for a beautiful woman. In Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, Solomon talks about avoiding the seductive woman. The beautiful woman, the belladonna plant, is harmful, but it's so good looking. The berries possess the most dangerous poison in them, especially to children. Symptoms of belladonna poisoning are, get this, and relate this to a seductive woman: dilated pupils, blurred vision, headaches, seeing things that aren't true, convulsions. The toxin containing belladonna can kill a person, making them unable to breathe, sweaty, and stop their heart rate. It was used to murder the wife of the first Roman emperor, Augustus. Solomon cautions his children and us to avoid lust and seductive adulterous living. It is extreme sharpness, as sharp as a two-edged sword. Adultery leads to weedy minds and thorny manners, and these three chapters, chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Proverbs, remind us directly of the seventh commandment to not commit adultery. But it's not only in marriage, it's before marriage. I'd like to read what I've written. Satan's plan is to pull us away from true worship of God into the destruction of our body and soul. Adultery is a bitter fruit to be avoided at all costs. It hurts, wounds, and ruins reputations. It wastes time and is destructive to our health. If lust continues to dwell, it produces roots of self-hate and disastrous consequences for people involved and the family it touches. What looks like a promise of pleasure and sweet honey becomes a worm of poison. The final result of adultery and lust is remorse, broken hearts, and a lot of hurt victims. So stay within your boundaries. The next picture that I have up here is a dandelion yard. We all know about dandelions right now, right? Some yards have it and some don't have it. And if our yard doesn't have dandelions, that doesn't mean that they aren't going to blow into our yard. Because surrounding your garden, no matter how great you try to be isolated from lust and seduction and adultery, it's around us. It's on the TV. It's even in like movie, like if you're just going to a great movie, you even see it before, like in the, what do you call those things, trailers? So like, it can blow right into your yard. And what do you have to do? You have to be on guard. You got to zap it right when it comes into your area so that your yard can be green and free from that. So the question for lesson 3 is, what actions are you taking to avoid lust, seduction, and adultery? Lesson 4, the crop. I think of the crop as your heart. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. What I'm going to do now is I'm just going to read you some of the Proverbs that has to do with your heart, because there's so many of them, and I just wanted to take a few of them just so you get an idea what Solomon's saying about your heart. Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Proverbs 15:13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartaches crush his spirit. 15:14. The discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. 15:30. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. And then Proverbs 17:22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Toxic relationships hurt our heart. They can be under the surface like a worm that's crawling and biting away at the root, or they can be a full attack in your back and hurt your heart like a swarm of insects. Guard your heart. So the question for lesson four is, what is the condition of your heart? Lesson five, poison or fruit. I chose Proverbs 18:21 for this lesson, and I took this one out of the Message again. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Poison. What kinds of words are poisonous to us? What does our tongue say that could be very poisonous to our souls? Cut downs? Gossip, mean words, silent treatment, hateful texting, some Facebook posts. They hurt your children, your spouse, your family, even your church friends and your town. Some words are like poison ivy. They arrive after the fact. We have to learn to recognize poisonous words, like the old saying for poison ivy. Leaflets 3, let it be. So we can have poisonous words or we can have fruit-bearing words. And I just want to share a few things that have happened to me. This week I got a little note written from a friend that told me how much she loved youth group and loved working with me. This morning my daughter called at 6 o'clock, she lives in Tampa, Florida, to pray for me. Yesterday at 8 p.m., this boy did not know this, but we were sitting on the road in Illinois, 4 hours away from home with a broken down vehicle. All of the dorm room was in a vehicle that was laying on the side of Highway 17. At 8 o'clock in the evening, with a 4 hour drive ahead of us, I get this text from Reeve Clements. And this is what he says. He has no idea that we're broken down on the road for 2 hours. Happy Mother's Day, 4 hours in advance. Isn't that cool? He didn't even know like what we were experiencing, but his words were so kind and they came exactly at the right time, if you know what I mean. So we can be fruit with our tongue and we can do encouragement, kindness, or we can just be poison. There's a quote by Hillsong Christine Kane, and this is what she says. If you don't see it with your own eyes or hear it with your own ears, then don't think it with your small mind or share it with your big mouth. I'll say it again. If you don't see it with your own eyes or hear it with your own ears, don't think it with your small mind or share it with your big mouth. So the question for lesson five is, Are your words healing or crushing? Lesson 6, the labor. Now, nobody wants to talk about this, but I personally like to work, so I kind of like working. I picked Proverbs 20, verse 4, and this is what it says. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time, he looks, but he can't find anything. So in other words, if you're lazy and you think your garden's going to grow, it's not. You're going to end up with nothing. Generally, if you want to have a great garden, it takes a lot of work. If you ignore it, the weeds grow, the rabbits eat it, the pests attack it, and the plants wither. The same is with your relationship. If you ignore a relationship, rumors and lies can come up and block communication. If you ignore a relationship, distractions eat away with your time, and you end up spending no time together. In your relationship, if there's yelling and angry words, you get attacked. And your relationship withers when you have nothing in common. There's an extreme value in the word of helping each other. We can do things like pray for each other. We can work hard by making food. That's a wonderful gift to give to people that are sick. Get off the couch. Stop being on social media all the time and listen. It takes work to do that. Help around the house. Do the dishes. Help in the yard. Even do your own laundry. Yay! Lesson 6. How are you helping to do your share of the workload? And if you tend to be lazy, you need to be writing right now. Lesson 7. Drought or harvest. And I picked 3 scriptures, one for the wife, one for the man, and one for the children. The first one for the wife is Proverbs 12:4. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. I was at a seminar the other day, and I met a brand new pastor's wife. She's only been married a year. And she's like, how do you be a pastor's wife? And I was like, oh, it's so amazing. It's like the best thing in the world. And she's like, really? I was like, yeah. You get to be a cheerleader to your husband all the time. And when he's up there preaching, you can be like, yes, yes, yes. And you can tell everybody, oh, he's so wonderful, he's so wonderful, he's so wonderful. And then they, like, think it. You know that? And I'm telling you, he is wonderful. But, like, when we are, like, a woman has the chance to be her husband's crown, and so, like, if you're a guy, you can be your wife's crown, but, like, if you go around saying, he's wonderful, he's wonderful, he's wonderful, I love him, not fake, but true, then people are going to go, you know, he's wonderful, I love him. If you go around going, oh, that man, can't even stand him, you know what people are going to think? I can't stand that person. So we can be a crown. For the men, Proverbs 27, I picked, the righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. And the reason I picked this one, there's a lot about being a righteous man, but the one I picked for your family for this is, it's really important for you men to be good role models. Even if you don't have children, you need to be a good role model because people look up to you. You stand a lot taller than us in stature and strength. You're strong, and we look to you to be strong. We look to you to guide us and to lead us and to be righteous. And when you do, children around you and your children will be blessed. Now, the children aren't off the teenagers, you're not off the hook on this one. Proverbs 8:23, I picked for the children. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. In other words, you've got to start making decisions for healthy living, and you've got to start following the Lord. The garden you plant and nurture can be beautiful and productive, or it can suffer from growth. We have a choice what grows in our garden. and what we allow to grow there. So the question for lesson 7 is, how do you treat your family? In closing, because I love my Lord so much, I have to bring Jesus into every conversation. I was thinking about a garden in the Bible, and the garden that came to mind was when Jesus was in the garden. And when Jesus was in the garden, his relationships were at their lowest. His friends had abandoned him, and he was getting ready to die. And he knew that he was going to die. He had lived a life of obedience, but his relationships had failed because his friends had abandoned him. He took his life and his relationships, and he put them in the hand of God. When we do that, when we put our relationships, our life in the hand of God, he takes it. And it's always a good outcome. So when Jesus was dripping tears that were like blood, he took it and put it in the hand of God. And God took it and made it right. He made it the best decision Jesus ever made, to die for us. So when you're struggling with weeds and thorns and work issues and everything, relationships, you put it in God's hand. Take that garden of yours and put it in the garden of God, and he'll make it right because he's in control. And when God is in control, everything's good. All right, challenge. There's 3 challenges to finish off for the day. Take these truths and apply them, not only on Sunday, but also on Monday. 2, there are 7 lessons here. So you could take 1 lesson each day, and you could go deeper into that one specific lesson. So maybe work ethic. Maybe you need to concentrate on work ethic, and you need to spend the whole day reading Proverbs, studying and answering those questions that are just in that section on work ethic. There's 7 of them, so you could do 1 each day. If you really want to challenge yourself, there are 31 chapters in Proverbs, and there's 31 days in most of the month. So you could start the habit of reading a proverb a day. So you could start like in chapter 11, since today's the 11th, and you could read it. And this is a really good chapter because it talks about pride, gossip. Oh, this one's good. Like a gold ring and a pig snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. I don't think that's very pretty. So if you don't show any discretion, then you're like a gold ring and a pig nose. That one's cool. It talks about the righteous. It talks about trusting. It talks about cursing. So if you just read chapter 11 today, you would be doing yourself a huge favor. So that's all I got to say. I want to say happy Mother's Day to you. Love you guys, and go in peace. Amen.